رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as I am of the firm opinion that the real purpose of this khutbah Jummah is the teaching of Quran, because there is a hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, and that is the only hadith which tells us as to what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in this khutbah Jummah. The wordings used there are in Arabic, kana sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqra'ul quran wa yuzakkirun nas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite Quran Majeed in khutbah Jummah, and he used to remind people with this Quran, because the last ayah in Surah Qaf, that is fadhakkir bil quran man yakhafu wa'id, remind people, remind them of their duties, remind them of the basic ideology of a Muslim, and the means of reminding, that is Quran. Teach and preach Quran. That is the reminder for the whole humanity for all times to come. So, in following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have recited one ayah of Suratul Baqarah. And in the little time that we have at our disposal, I intend to give you the brief meaning and what is the real message contained in this ayah. And for that purpose, I have given you a hadith also, in which the Prophet had said that preach on my behalf, teach on my behalf, convey on my behalf, although it might be only one ayah. So we will be acting upon this hadith today, that we shall be trying to understand one ayah of Quran-e-Hakim. And if we understand, and if you feel that you also understand, then it will become your duty to preach it, to convey it. And this ayah, let me tell you, is one of the most fundamental ayat of Quran-e-Hakim. This is the 21st ayah of Suratul Baqarah. And with this ayah starts the third ruku. In the preceding two rukus, the first two rukus of Suratul Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the details of three types of persons. One, those who avail of the guidance of Quran-e-Hakim. And what are the prerequisites and conditions for availing of the guidance of Quran-e-Hakim? That is number one. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. This is the first type of persons who listen to Quran and who avail of its guidance. Now the second type is إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَبَاعٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْزَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنْزِلُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They have closed their ears to the message of Quran, and no amount of preaching and teaching can be beneficial to them. سَبَاعٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْزَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنْزِلُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And there is the third category of persons who say that we believe. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Who say they believe in Allah and they believe in the last day, the day of judgment, but really they believe not. That is the third category. So this is, so to say, a preface, that Quran first of all tells that there will always be three types of persons regarding the guidance of this book. One, who avails of the best guidance of Quran-e-Hakim. Number two, to whom no amount of preaching and teaching is beneficial. They will never listen. They are not going to accept the message of Quran. And the third one, those who say we believe and they don't believe. So now with this introduction, in the next ayah, that is the first ayah of the third ruku, Quran gives in one ayah the basic call, the basic message which Quran has for the humanity at large. First of all, you take the translation of the ayah, and then what I will try is that which with every word of the ayah, I'll be giving you something that if you associate that thing with the word, inshallah al-aziz, as you remember the words of the ayah, you will remember what I have told you about the real message, the basic message of Quran, which is contained in this ayah. Ya Yuhannas, O mankind, O budu rabbakum. Now, translating this word, O budu, is very difficult. For example, Abdullah Yusuf Ali has used the word worship. Worship your Lord who has created you. And Mr. Pikthal uses the word adorn your Lord. Now these are two words and two aspects of worship, two aspects of ibadah. I will give you in detail. The real point actually is missed by both these translations. But keep here the word as it is. اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Do ibadah to your Lord, to your sustainer, to your cherisher, who is your creator also. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And He created not only you, but also those who were before you. And what will be the result? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you can be saved, so that you save yourself. Now as I told you, as far as I can understand, these few words of this ayah, they give the basic call of Quran. And we must understand each and every word of it. First of all, we know that Ya and Ya Ayyuha, these are the words for calling someone. Ya Ayyuhar Rajul, O man. Ya Insan, O Insan. So this Ya and Ayyuha, these are the words for calling someone. With this word, we can associate an idea. And that idea is that Quran contains a call for the humanity. It's not only a dogma that is passed from one generation to another. There's no need of preaching the dogma. But you know, if there is a message, if there is a call, if there is a dawah, if you have got some idea which you want to propagate, which you want to preach to others, which you want that the people should accept, this is basically different. So Islam is not a religion in the limited sense of the word. It has a message. It is calling. It calls you. It calls me. It calls everybody. So with this word, Ya Ayyuha, we can associate an idea that Quran has a call. Quran has a message. Quran is calling us. The next word is, Ya Yuhannas. What does this mean? The message of Quran is not for some one nation. It is not for some one race. It has no regional boundings. No nationalistic boundings. It is a humanistic call. This call is for the humanity at large. Quran is addressing all mankind, all humanity. This is above the nationalistic or racist or regional considerations. As you know, even the prophets, alayhim as-salatu wasalam, before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were sent towards certain nations, not to the humanity at large. That is why we find in Quran-e-Hakim, when there is mention of Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Hud, Hazrat Saleh, Hazrat Lut, Hazrat Shu'aib, always you will find the word Ya Qawmi, O my nation, O my people. So their prophethood was for a particular nation, for a particular country, for a particular race, for example. Even Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not sent for whole humanity. He was sent for Bani Israel only. And you will find that in the Bible, even today those words are present, that I have come in search of the lost sheep of the house of Bani Israel. And Quran says to us, the main argument is Quran. And Quran says, Rasulan ila Bani Israel. We sent him, we sent Masih alayhi salatu wasalam as a messenger. But to whom? Towards Bani Israel only. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the first and the last messenger of Allah, who was sent not for a race, for some one region, some one country, some one nationality or nation, but he was sent to the humanity at large. As in a very early khutbah, our messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّهُ إِنِّي لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ خَاسَّةً وَإِلَى النَّاسِ كَافَّةً. I swear by Allah, there is no God except Him, and I swear by Him that I have been sent as a messenger to you, O Arabs, especially, and to the whole of humanity, generally. So this is the exceptional position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No prophet before him was sent for humanity at large. And if we look to the other revolutionary ideologies of the world, other revolutionary calls, you will find that there is no example of a call, of a message, of an appeal for humanity at large. Either there are nationalist approaches. Someone is raising the slogan of the glory of his own nation, the glory of his own country. Someone is talking of some race and the supremacy of that race. What did Hitler do? He inculcated in the German nation that your nation is superior. The superiority of race. These Bani Israel, the Yehud, they also are under the same misconception that we are the chosen people of Allah and we are a higher and a superior race. And all the Gentiles, they are a lower type of people, lower race. So there are calls, there are messages, there are movements, there are slogans, but all of them are based either on racial considerations or nationalistic considerations. There is only one exception, and that is the ideology of Marxism. We should accept, give the devil his due. We must accept that the call and ideology of Marxism, it was definitely above the racial or the national level. It was addressed to humanity. But here also, if we go into minute detail, we shall find that Marxism also divides humanity into two parts, the haves and the have-nots, the exploiters and the exploited. And the basic appeal of Marxism is to the have-nots. What's the slogan? Oh, the laborers of the whole world, unite together. So that is a call directed primarily towards the laborers, towards the tillers of the land, the owners of the land, or the owners of the industry and factory and business. They are excluded. The call is not towards them. So here also we find that although the call of Marxism has gone up definitely to some extent, it has broken the barriers of nationalities and races. But here again, humanity has been divided into two parts. And only the appeal is directed towards one part. The only example of a call, of a message, which is above all these considerations, which addresses man as man only, above all nationalistic, racist and regional considerations, the only call is the call of Quran, Ya Ayyuhan Nas. And you will find it repeated in Quran-e-Hakim. Wherever there is message, wherever there is an address, that is, Ya Ayyuhan Nas. Ya Ayyuhan Nas. So, two things I have given you. Number one, Quran has a message. Quran has a call. Number two, its message, its call is directed and addressed not to some one nation, not to some one race, but to the humanity at large, the whole mankind. Now we come to the most crucial part of this ayah. What is that message? That message is اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Here I will have to give in some detail what the meaning of this ibadah is, because we have very limited concept of ibadah. We know that salah, this prayer, this is ibadah. We know this keeping fast, fasting in the month of Ramadan, that is ibadah. We know hajj is an ibadah. We know that zakah is an ibadah. But the real concept of ibadah is something much more wider than this, much higher than this. What is that concept? The root of this word is abd. What is abd? Abd is a slave. And what is the meaning of slavery? The slave doesn't have any choice of his own. He has to do what his master wants him to do. He has to obey the commandments of his master. He thinks that I am not the master of my own will. I have no choice of my own. I am a slave to my master, and I have to do whatever my master commands to me. It might be pleasant to me or otherwise, but I have to do it. This is the basic thing. I quoted two translations of Abdullah Yusuf Ali as well as Mr. Pithal, but both have missed this basic point. Ibadah means obedience, total obedience. And then there are two more aspects. One is given by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, and it's very good. Adorn your Lord, love your Lord. This obedience to Allah should be out of love for Him. It shouldn't be something that has been forced upon you. There can be an obedience, but it's not pleasant to you. You don't want to obey, but some obedience has been forced upon you. Well, that will be something different. But when Quran says, اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, that means you have to obey your Allah in all your life, in all your actions, in all the aspects of your life, whether it is individual or collective life, whether it is the social or the economic or the political aspect of life, you have to obey Allah. But this obedience must be out of love for Him, out of gratitude to Him. He created us. He provides us with all the necessities of life. He is our cherisher. He is our sustainer. He is our creator. So out of gratitude and love for Allah, we obey Him. This total obedience. Then there are modes of worship also. This salah is a mode of worship. This is a ritual. In a sense it is a ritual. Although it is not a ritual alone. It is a means for that big ibadah. Because if you have to obey Allah in all your actions, you must remember that you are an abd, you are a slave to Allah. And to remind you 5 times a day, this salah has been prescribed. So that out of 24 hours every day, you take some time 5 times and you pray to Allah. And you renew your faith when you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Your faith in Allah, your belief in Allah is renewed. When you say, Malik Yawmiddin, your faith and your belief in the Day of Judgment, that is renewed. And when you say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een, your covenant with Allah, that we shall be your abd, we shall obey you, O Allah. We promise that we shall be slaves to you, we shall be bondsmen to you. When you utter these words, there is a renewal of that covenant. So to remind and to renew this covenant with Allah, this is salah 5 times a day. That is why it has been said in Surah Taha, أَقِيمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish this prayer, this salah, so that you can remember me. This remembrance is essential. Then what is this psalm? It helps you to control your animal instincts. Your stomach wants that it should be filled. There is sexual urge in you. It wants its own satisfaction. There are so many other animal instincts. You require some rest also. And this psalm, what does it do? According to psalm, and in this you practice, you know how to control your baser self, the animal instincts. So this is also something which gives you a training for that big ibadah, so that you can be an abd of Allah in the real sense of the word. And what is this zakah? The love for wealth, that is very potent. Each one of us, if he peeps into his heart, he'll find that money is dear to him. Wealth is dear to him. And Quran says it very plain words in Surah Al Imran. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. All these things are very dear to men. But in zakat, what do? You give away your money. So by giving away this money, according to the commandment of Allah, you are cleaning your heart from the lust for wealth. And this is necessary. If you want to be abd of Allah, in the real sense of the word, you have to do it. So these modes of worship, they have been given, they have been prescribed so that we can become abd of Allah. We can become the real slaves of Allah. We can become the real bondsmen of Allah. We can do and perform ibadah in the real sense of the word. And now I want to give two aspects more. This ibadah is not an individual phenomenon. This is a collective phenomenon also. And you know, in our collective aspect of our life, we have the life which we call the life of a state, nationhood. Then that state, that government, the politics, the political science, this abdiyat and ibadat has a bearing on that also. Because according to the concept of ibadah, man is not sovereign. Sovereignty is with Allah only. No single man can be sovereign. No man can be sovereign collectively. Even full nation can't claim that we are sovereign. You are not sovereign. You are all slaves. Sovereignty rests with Allah and Allah alone. Now this denial of human sovereignty and the affirmation that sovereignty rests with Allah only, this is the basic concept of the political views of the political guidance of Quran and Islam. As Allama Iqbal has said in Urdu, in very beautiful words, Sarvari zeba faqat us zaate behanta ko hai, hukmara hai ik wohi, baaki butane azri. Sovereignty rests with Allah and Allah alone. We can make legislations, but within the limits which have been prescribed by the commandments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our sovereignty is limited sovereignty. And it should be called not sovereignty but khilafa. This is vice-regency. We are vice-regents of Allah, and a viceroy, he has to do according to the wishes and according to the directions of the real sovereign. So this is the concept of popular vice-regency which Quran gives us. And this is a corollary of the concept of ibadah. On the economic plane, there is a complete denial of the ownership. Man doesn't own anything. Everything is owned by Allah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We are not owners. We are abd. Abd cannot be an owner. If the master has given something to an abd, if he gives him a cot to sleep upon, if he gives him some clothes to wear, if he gives him some small room, you can sleep here during the night, well, he will never think that I own these things. I am myself owned by my master, what to speak of these things which I have. So he is the owner. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And as that is the concept of popular vice-regency, here is the concept of amana. We are custodians. Everything that Allah has given us is trust with us. We are trust holders of that trust. And a trustee has to use his power, his authority, according to the real owner. We can't use whatever we have as we like, according to our own whims and wishes. We have to use these things according to the orders and commandments of the rightful owner, and he is Allah. So this concept of ibadah, it is not a mere real religious type of dogma. It's a full ideology in life. It has all the aspects of human life within it. And that is the basic message of Quran. Ya ayyuhan nas u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum. I don't have time to go in the details of the rest of the ayah. He created not only you but also those who were before you. Why it has been said? Because we find it many times that when you say to someone, this is not what you are doing, is not rightful, it's not correct. The only argument that he will advance, it is that we found our parents, our forefathers doing like this. So this is the biggest argument in the hands of wrongdoers. Who are you to tell us this is not correct, this is not permitted by Allah? Well, our forefathers have been doing it. So it has been, that argument has been, the roots have been cut. They were also creatures, as you are creatures of Allah. They could also commit mistakes, as you can commit mistakes. So you have to see what Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have commanded. Never said that this is the thing which we have got from our fathers. This is no argument. The argument is not valid. Because they were also liable to commit mistakes as you are liable to commit mistakes. And the last words are, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Now there's no time to give you detail of what taqwa means. But the basic sense in taqwa is to save someone. When we call, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, save us from the fire of hell. So saving someone is the exact sense of the word taqwa. And you have double safety in this attitude. If you accept this call, this message of Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. In this world you are saved from going to extremes as humanity is going from one extreme to another. You have that middle path with you, أَسْتَوَاهُ السَّبِيلِ أَسْسِرَاتُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Allah will give you that siratul mustaqim so that you don't have to go to extremes, from one extreme to another. And what is the result of that, this attitude in the life hereafter? You will be saved from the fire of hell. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you can be saved. So this is the message of Quran. In nutshell, as at another point Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created men and jinns only that they should do ibadah to me. They should become my abd. They should be slaves to me. They should obey me in all their life. They should love me. They should adorn me. They should worship me. You join all these words together and then the sense of the word ibadah can, so to say, be completed. So this is the meaning of this ayah. And in this very little time, I could give you only this much. And I expect that if you feel that this is the essence of the basic call of Quran, then you get ready to propagate it. This one ayah which you have learned, if you remember by heart, and then you will remember whatever I have told you, with that mental association that you will form with each and every letter of the ayah. Ya ayyuha, there is a call in it. The call is directed, Ya ayyuhan nas, to humanity at large. What is that call? U'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Be slaves to Allah who has created you and who is your sustainer. Obey Him, adore Him, love Him, worship Him. And وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. This argument would be absolutely false if we say about something that we found it from our forefathers. And what will be the result? You will be saved from the going to extremes in this world and you will be saved from divine punishment in the life hereafter. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.
Dear brothers and sisters, please note our contact for audio and video speeches of Dr. Isra Rahman. Maktaba Khuddamul Quran, Quran Academy, 36 K Model Town, Lahore, Pakistan. Phone 9242 586 9501 586 9502 and 586 9503. Our fax is 583-4000. You can send your emails on info@tanzeem.org. Our website address is www.tanzeem.org. May Allah bless us with the understanding of Islam and give us the courage to act upon it. Ameen.